This is a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. Go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Welcome to Breadline from the Australian Unemployed Workers Union on Community Radio 3CR.
News and views from the dole queues.
Fighting back against the poverty machine. Breadline is broadcast from the stolen, unceded lands of the Wurundjeri people. The unfairness of the so-called welfare system disproportionately affects Indigenous people.
Down with mutual obligations.
Raise the rate. Fair and equal treatment for all. Yes, there you heard our rather feisty intro. It's lovely to be on beautiful Community Radio 3CR. I'm Jessica, and I'm going to be presenting Breadline for you tonight. So, yes, I'm from the Australian Unemployed Workers Union, and one thing we're pretty proud of is that we have volunteers running the advocacy line. So Monday to Friday, 10 till 2, if you do have a problem with Centrelink or the job centres, feel free to ring our number 1-800-289-848 or email advocacy@auwu.org.au. And one of us will get back to you. We're getting mostly emails these days, but occasionally people do ring. I know someone's been on to us today with a whole multiplicity of problems, and I think they probably will have to get onto some of the legal services for help because it's to do with, you know, debts and so on, which often we do have to put people onto them. And of course they're great, and later on in the show I'll play one of the cuts. You've probably heard it a few times. This week's a bit of a full week because we are going to be out on the streets, and we're going out in the streets because, as mentioned before on the show, 10 years ago this week, 18-year-old Josh Parkfing died at his forced labour, worked for the dole site in Toowoomba. So that's despite a court finding that his work for the dole site did not meet basic safety standards. Neither the government nor his for-profit privately owned employment service provider, NITO, were held accountable. And I've got a bit more background about it and a bit of an investigation that was done by Jeremy Poxon, who you might have heard on the radio year before last. He works with the Anti-Poverty Centre, but he actually signed up with a Work for the Dole project hoping to sort of blow the whistle on them. And of course, he found plenty of shoddy things going on. So in addition to the things that we're calling for, which is, of course, justice for Josh and his family, work for the dole being permanently shut down and accountability for the organisations that were responsible for his death, and also an investigation into safety, and as well, it's a bit of a grab bag, abolition of the mutual obligation system, and the unemployment, all benefits to be raised to the Henderson poverty line, which means that everyone will get pretty much a hit of another 200 a week. We think that's basically the bare minimum. That is the poverty line. And also restoration of a state-orientated, a state-run employment service to try and get the job service providers off our backs. But since we emailed our membership about the action we're doing on Friday, we had a few emails in, pretty weird emails saying that no one deserved to get any money from the social security system. Why they'd signed up to the AUWU, I don't know. But anyway, a few of those. But one person contacted us saying that they had twice had sexual harassment at their work for the dole site. So that's yet another reason to close them down. Because to be there for getting paid practically nothing and then have sexual harassment, it's just too much. The other thing that I got a little bit into our local paper about was the fact that everyone's talking about cost of living and fuel crisis and all that. Well, the amount that they're actually giving for transport to a work for the dole site has been stuck for a long time at $20.80 per fortnight. So that's around $10 a week for travel. And if you did have to use your car, there's no way that would get you there. So, of course, you'd be putting your hand in your pocket to pay for fuel if you have a car. Yet another thing to add to our list of reasons why work for the dollar should be abolished. But here's some more from Jeremy. A few details here about Josh had spent a few weeks on this site in Toowoomba. It was a 245-acre site cleaning up the showgrounds without proper training, guidance or supervision. He was told he had to do this labour to continue receiving his $218.75 unemployment benefit. This was a lie. If Josh's rights had been explained to him, he would still be alive. On the day he died, he was collecting rubbish from around the showgrounds. To speed things up, he was told to climb onto a flatbed trailer that was being pulled by a tractor. So he wasn't given a harness to keep him safe from falling. The tractor slipped a gear, causing the teenager to fall and hit his head, and he died on the way to hospital. So that's just the kind of stuff that goes on. And I can mention that in Wonthaggi, where I live, we did hear about a Work for the Dole site where people were cutting up pallets and making them into some kind of shoddy fake furniture. And we heard that there was a hell of a lot of wood dust flying around the site. And we actually got up through a helpful local councillor. We got that shut down because it was operating in a house, which is, again, not a very safe place to be operating machinery, cutting out pallets. As Jeremy says, work for the dole is coercive labour. So there was a survey of participants 4 years ago. It showed 97% didn't want to do it. Only 17% said their rights had been explained to them. And only 4% of the survey got a job from it. So work for free or starve, what would you choose? So in February 2022, Jeremy was sent by his job agency, Catholic Care, to do work for the dole at Ballarat Cemetery. He wasn't paid to work, but he did get 42 cents an hour to top up his job seeker payment to weed, mow and repair tombstones for 25 hours a week. Our government commissioned Ernst & Young report found that 64% of these sites do not meet the basic health and safety standards. So he wasn't shocked when on the second day he saw an injury. Another participant, a father of two who had a knee injury, slipped on it into a rabbit warren while he was using a push mower. This forced him to stop. I told him to get a medical exemption to give himself time to recover, but he didn't want to risk losing his payment. I don't want to have to beg the job agency to let me stay home because they never listen. So most of the people Jeremy talked to in town had no idea this was happening, and they were shocked when they heard that people were being forced unpaid to clean and maintain graves. So it's a bit of a dirty secret, he says. We've also heard on the grapevine there are some councils using work for the dole labour. So yes, it's very much on the nose. So the top three organisations that take advantage of unemployed people and get public money to do it are the Salvos, Vinnies and Lifeline. And then there's Ronald McDonald House, Hillsong and countless others who claim to support the vulnerable. So these supposedly benevolent organisations are doing the government's dirty work. And as Jeremy says, work for the dole is only one cog in the brutal punishment machine. So politicians must own up to their failures, to the failure of coercing unemployed to do unpaid work, and work for the dole must be abolished. So, yeah, good points. And, I also posted our event on Friday, which is a picket of the politician. His name is Andrew Giles, and he's the Labor Minister for Work and Skills. And we're calling him Minister Responsible for Work for the Dole. That picket is at 189 High Street, Thomastown. It's this coming Friday, the 17th at 1 till 2. So, yeah, hopefully a few people who are listening can come along. I've got a little bit more a few quotes from Josh Park Fing's dad, but I'll play a bit of an announcement here, and this is a good thing to let your friends and neighbours know that if they are getting these mega debts, they've got a chance for legal help.
Has Centrelink made a decision you disagree with? Most Centrelink decisions can be appealed up to 3 times. Examples of decisions you can appeal include whether you're eligible for a payment, cancellation or suspension of your payment, how much you get paid, and Centrelink debts. One of the most common Centrelink decisions appealed are Centrelink debts. Centrelink will say you owe a debt if the staff determine you've been paid more than you should have. Debts can occur for a variety of reasons. In some instances, if there's been an administrative error or if you have special circumstances, you may not have to repay that debt. The appeal process is free, but time limits can apply and will affect your entitlement to back payment. Social Security Rights Victoria is a specialist community legal centre providing Victorians free advice to help you understand your Centrelink issues and the appeal processes. You can contact Social Security Rights Victoria on 9481 0355 or online at ssrv.org.au. The Federation of Community Legal Centres is a 3CR supporter.
Yes, a good thing to remember that there are, we're lucky that we have got a few free legal services about. So we're talking about the fact that it's 10 years since the sad death of Josh Parkfing on a Work for the Dole site, and you're listening to Breadline on 3CR. So Josh's father said his son was just finding his feet as an adult when he took the Work for the Dole placement, and said his son had already raised safety concerns with him about the work placement on the day that he died. Our last conversation was about 4 hours before he passed that day, Mr. Park said. He was stating that he basically had hurt his back and he'd been trying to take the day off. Mr. Park said his son had also texted to him to say, working for the Dole is shit. So reflecting on the tragedy, Mr. Park, Josh's dad, said he was concerned about other job seekers who are at similar risk. He said his son's experience suggested people on Work for the Dole placements did not receive adequate training. I believe it should be scrapped for the simple fact that no one knows what they're doing with it. At the end of the day, what happened happened, and Josh isn't here to tell us what happened, but at the end of the day, it shouldn't have happened the way it did. Yes, well, as we've said, a lot of people seem to have this illusion that the poverty machine doesn't exist. They have this illusion that Work for the Dole is there, somehow helping guileless individuals sort of get training. In fact, I posted our event on a Unions Australia Facebook page, and I got someone saying, oh, well, if it was training. Yeah, but sorry, training costs money, and the job centres aren't interested in spending money on real training. What they want to do is direct people to the courses that they benefit from, that they profit from. So the advice to anyone you might know who is being threatened with Work for the Dole is that you are able to do a proper course, you're able to do volunteer work, or look for an alternative rather than do the Work for the Dole that you might be being pushed into. So there's also, it's mainly people who are in their 20s and 30s, but it can be up to 60, that pressure to do Work for the Dole. And of course, as we know, that the op shops are sort of peopled by people who are doing volunteer work if they're over 55 to avoid their mutual obligations. Many workers under 30 are required to work 25 hours a week for at least 6 months each year in order to receive their measly dole. The Department of Jobs and Small Business lists possible Work for the Dole placement sites, including retail businesses, gardening and maintenance companies, and warehouses. It says on its website that they provide that the providers will ensure participants in the program receive workplace inductions and training. The federal government has denied claims that Work for the Dole placements are unsafe. In 2016, of course, that's 10 years ago, a government-funded report suggested 64% of Work for the Dole work sites failed to meet average health and safety standards. But, of course, they've got a compliance score, and it's all tied in with their own sort of self-assessment process. So, so the measures of compliance were tied in with documentation and administration. Well, that's a bit late. If you document how many people were injured, that's not really what the result that we want. So it's a flop, and the sooner it's got rid of, the better. And so that's what we'll be saying to the Minister for Skills and Training, Andrew Giles, on Friday. And if I am talking too quickly and you failed to get the details, if you just went to the Australian Unemployed Workers Union Facebook page, it's pinned to the top there. So, yeah, there's another thing that last week Hank covered very well, and that was a sort of statement about the Commons. So we'll I'll be reading out a bit of that and just sort of talking on the Commons after this short plug.
You're listening to 3CR Community Radio, 855 AM. Visit the 3CR website at 3cr.org.au/podcast to hear the most recent recording from each show, or 3cr.org.au/streaming to listen live.
Yeah, so you're listening to Breadline on 3CR. So we're going to do this little segment on the Commons. So for, and we're not talking about the House of Commons, and to introduce it, I was thinking of a song by David Rovics, but I've temporarily forgotten how to play songs. So I thought I'd just sing it for you. And then that's done and you get the idea. First you told us only that through we could know God, and if we dared to question, you wouldn't spare the rod. For you we worked the soil, for you we dug the moors, for you we shed our blood, fought so many pointless wars. And now you build your fences, and you say there's nothing we can do. You say the world around us belongs fairly to the few, but about 8 billion people, no doubt would agree. This world is our home, not your property, it's the Commons, our right of birth. And you who would enclose the land all around the earth, our future is your downfall when we cut this ball and chain. You who'd sacrifice the public good for your private gain. With our sweat we built the railroads, built cities on these shores. But because you own the money, you say that it's all yours. We laid the phone lines and the pipelines, and then right before our eyes, you say the things our taxes paid for, you now will privatise. Privatise the hospitals, privatise the schools, privatise the prisons for all those who break your rules. And preparing for the day when all the wells run dry, you'll say you own the very rain that falls down from the sky. It's the Commons, our right of birth. And you who'd own the water all around the earth, our future is your downfall when we cut this ball and chain. You who'd sacrifice the public good for your private gain. You claim to own the harvest with your Terminator seeds. You claim to own the genomes of every animal that breeds. You claim to own our culture and the music that we play. And with every song we download, to your coffers we must pay. You'd even own my name, and you'd say it's for the best. Maybe you'll let us on your radio station if our songs can pass your test. You own country, you own Western. You say you've given us a choice. You may own the airways, but you'll never own my voice. It's the Commons, our right of birth. And you who own the music all around the earth, our future is your downfall when we cut this ball and chain. You who'd sacrifice the public good for your private gain. And yeah, that's The Commons by David Rovics. And I have sung it before a few times. Too bad I don't actually play an instrument, but there you go. So Hank talked last week about riffing on a statement by, it's a written piece by Peter Gelderloos called Commoning and Scarcity, a Manifesto Against Capitalism. So we thought it's good to sort of include a bit of this because the poverty machine's a bit miserable, but in some cases, we can sort of celebrate living without the sort of meagre amounts of money that are handed out at the moment in this country. Peter Gelderloos says, as for the widespread commons of the garbage, I should explain the commons is really just the non-owned part of the world, the ones that the capitalists haven't managed to take over and sort of sell back to us. And so He says several governments around the world are working to criminalise and suppress access to garbage. In the US, several cities have arrested people for sharing free dumpstered food. And we have the great example in Tassie, where there's a group called the Grassroots Action Network Tasmania. They actually collected the thrown out food from around the back of a Woolworths and then handed it out for free on tables at the front of the Woolworths. So I think they made the point pretty clearly there. And I know when I lived in the UK, some shopping centres would pour bleach on food in dumpsters rather than allow it to be scavenged. It says, he says in Spain, where bakers traditionally give away unsold loaves at the end of the day, chain bakeries have started to count all their loaves of bread, returning and destroying or selling them to livestock and other industries, every loaf that hasn't been paid for. In many cities in the Netherlands, new trash containers store the garbage underground, making it impossible to access. Once again, they prefer that people starve instead of being able to get anything for free. With urban gardens and the planting of fruit and nut trees, many cities could come close to food self-sufficiency. The anarchist scientist Kropotkin wrote about this emerging possibility a century ago, using Paris as his model. But since then, governments and urban planners have made sure to prevent this new commons. Sometimes urban gardens are evicted and bulldozed, as in Los Angeles. In general, cities avoid planting edible plants in urban green spaces. Athens or Barcelona, for example, are graced with thousands of orange trees, but the variety the city governments choose to plant only produce an inedible kind of orange. I just can't believe that. But it's possible, I suppose. I know that their big fear is, someone could trip over a bit of fallen food and sue someone, sue the council. So we've had that issue in Wonthaggi. Some of my friends were growing olive trees and a neighbour complained and then the council got involved. They do still have olive trees, though, at the front of their house. One exception to the rule can be found in Seattle. During several months of summer, one can harvest a variety of edible, delicious fruits and berries from trees and bushes growing in the city. However, most people have lost the skills and knowledge to carry out the simple task of sort of collecting, storing, preserving, or even realise that food comes from the earth and not the supermarket. People are so alienated that most of the fruits and berries go to waste. This sad fact demonstrates the connection between knowledge and material, intellectual or cultural commons. Another interesting fact about cities is that food grown in them will be contaminated by automobile pollution. For this reason, it will be easy to argue that growing food in cities is not the best idea. But there is no natural connection between cities and cars. In fact, cities function far more efficiently without car traffic, using instead public transportation and bicycles. But a focus on efficiency ignores the historically important fact that the state prefers to subsidise and implement those technologies that foster dependency. As you can see, it's a nice little piece if you just want to read it at length without hearing me read it out. You can Google that and you can just Google the Commons and maybe Google his name, Peter Gelderloos, which is GELDERLOOS. And of course, there are other groups around Melbourne who are doing a great job, like the recent Degrowth Festival, great job of actually bringing, the positive things out and being able to get people talking. The other thing that's a bit exciting, I found there's a new doco out called The Commons, Reclaiming What Is Ours. And it came out in 2019. But as far as I can work out, and I haven't double checked it to make sure it's watchable, because you know how sometimes you end up just getting a clip or trailer. It seems as if it's watchable on YouTube, and of course it would be open access because that's what the Commons is all about. So try having a look for that if this talk does interest you, the topic of the Commons. So you can probably find it pretty quickly if you Google the Commons, Reclaiming What Is Ours. Yeah, so it's coming to the end of tonight's show, And so a few other things, of course, have been stirring me up, as they usually do. But for example, I just found out that today in Hosier Lane in Melbourne, there's this monument to the number of women who've died. And in other words, it's called She Matters. And anyway, they've just been told that this monument has to be removed. It's a mural showing the faces of the women who died during, you know, alleged domestic violence. So that's pretty bloody infuriating. And another thing that's very infuriating is there's a petition flying around about the city of Melbourne has employed a new sort of semi-paramilitary force to get rid of people who are homeless on the streets. The Homeless Persons Union has got a petition on the go. So if you did want to find that online, I'm sure they'd love it if you could sign that. From the descriptions, they're actually routinely assaulting people who are sleeping on the streets, as if it isn't hard enough to sleep on the streets without that kind of incredibly authoritarian response. It's sort of what we expect, but at the same time, it's not on. And the city of Melbourne need to completely finish with this way of responding. I mean, as we can see by the free fares, suddenly it's possible to travel throughout the state of Victoria for nothing. So why can't some of the other more positive things be brought in, like rather than victimising people who are on the streets, actually support them, help them find a place to live, as they did during COVID. And then, then the sort of largesse faded away and people were back on the streets. Anyway, that's it from me, from Jessica, from the Australian Unemployed Workers Union. And don't forget, there is a phone number if you have trouble with Social Security, Centrelink, the whole shebang, as they say, 1-800-289-848, and you can call that Monday to Friday. So, as I've done before, and I'm proud to play, the song called Breadline by the Warumpi Band. So I'll go out with that, and hopefully you'll hear from us next week and listen in. And thanks for listening to Breadline. Bye.
On the bread line, just a minute. reflection in the eye.
Listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.